How about now? There we go. Nothing wrong with me. I'm just, these new gadgets I'm not used to, so I hope you bear with me today. Earlier, it was mentioned my name is Al Kidder. That's all you need to know. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I'm here to give God's message. This is not my message, it's His. I spent many hours preparing for this, but I need God to speak through me today, and you need to hear the Spirit of God touch your heart. That's why we're here. I hope that's why you came here today. If you came for any other reason, understand, God holds us accountable every time His Word is presented to us. I come here today with a heavy heart in a lot of ways. I got an email this, probably 2 weeks ago, and I wondered, why did I get this email? Maybe it's because of today. The title of it is Pray for Your Pastor. 97% of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. 7,000 churches close each year. 1,500 pastors quit each month. 10% will retire as pastors. Think of that. 90% of guys that are called by God to preach the gospel in our country are leaving the ministry before they retire. We are in desperate need to turn our heart towards God. We need revival. Can I get an amen for that? I mean, really, guys, is this real? Is this where we are in America? We need God to break our hearts, to cause us to turn to Him. If there's nothing else we can do today, I want to go on with that email. 80% of pastors feel discouraged. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of the ministry. 78% of pastors have no close friends. 90% of pastors report working 55 to 75 hours. Is that right, Jeff? That's right, isn't it? Pray for your pastor. Pray for the man you're going to call. You're going to call somebody in here that's going to go through this. When God calls a man into ministry, He's taking him out of his environment and bringing him. He's a gift to your church. Whoever you bring here, remember, it's a gift from God. I've been on both sides of this. I've been on search committees. I've been candidating as pastor. So I've been on both sides of this equation. And I got to tell you that many times I have seen churches where they'll ask a man to come, he'll preach, and he'll look nice, and he'll give a nice sermon, and all of a sudden, everybody says, oh yeah, we're going to have him, we'll vote, 100% vote. And the man will go home, and he'll pray, and say, I don't believe it's God's call for me. What do you do? Are we really desiring God's man? Or are you desiring someone that pleases you or just somebody that's up here that'll take you responsibility away from you? Today we're going to talk about spiritual growth. We as believers have a responsibility to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we start out our life, we see as a baby, they have no way of taking care of themselves. They need help. And when they don't grow, something's wrong, isn't it? And so what do? We try and seek help. Well, when someone comes to know Jesus Christ, they need to grow too. And when we stop growing, there's something wrong. Something needs to be done. So as we look into the scripture here this morning, I'm going to read it right off the screen because I think it's appropriate here. Picking up where Dave left off. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Spotless and blameless. Is that our goal? Is that who we are? Is that what we want to be? And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, and they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of the unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. As I mentioned before, as we grow in our spiritual walk, there's something that we need to think. How do we know if we're growing spiritually? Genuine maturity is determined by our relationship with the Lord. It's not my religious activity. It's not even, well, I used to do this and now I don't do it anymore. But really growing in the Lord is having that personal conversation with God. And that's what we want to emphasize today. In verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. Do you see that? It's not an option. It's a command. God expects that from us. After all, look at the price he paid in order for us to be in his family. I don't know about you, but it amazes me every time I think of what Jesus did for me. When I was a kid, one guy was coming to our church, and I'll never forget it. He says, when's the last time you thanked God for the liquid in your eyeballs? And I thought, what's this about? But his point was, God does things for you and I that we don't even give a second thought. How many times does your heart beat each day? Maybe some have heart problems and they can really recognize it, or something's going wrong, but other than that, we just take it for granted. But if we want to grow, then we need to spend time with our Lord. Why should we endeavor to grow in Christ? Some people may ask that. In Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's also a command, isn't it? He wants us. We can't measure our growth and whether the measurement of our growth is whether we are progressively becoming like Christ, or not just in our thoughts, but our conversation, our conduct, and our character. God wants us to grow in all those areas. Another thing is for our protection. In 1 Peter 17 back here, you therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand, be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men. It's protection. Part of our growing in Christ and getting to know his word is so that we can be protected not fall into the trap that so many would like to entrap us in, including the devil himself. But most of the time it isn't the devil, it's people, isn't it? Influenced by those hedgemen that Satan sends out to discourage us and so forth. So we need that knowledge of who God is, communicating with him regularly. I've been told that the average American spends less than 2 minutes a day in prayer. Think about that. Over the last week, how much time have you really went off by yourself and just talked to the Lord? Jesus did that continually. Sometimes he'd be up all night long, especially when he had a major decision to make. God's interested in our relationship. He brought us into his family to have community, to be with us. Think about that. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were a perfect union. But then he decided to create us. And his desire was to include us in that Trinity. How's he doing? How are we doing? Do we see ourselves is invited in to the divine presence of an almighty God? These are things we need to ask. So we may say, well, then, why do we fail to grow spiritually? Well, there's a lot of reasons in there. Can you think of any? Can anybody just tell me something? Listen, we're a family here. What are some reasons why we can't grow spiritually? Pride, lack of scripture reading.
Spend too much time on Facebook.
Oh, now you're stepping on toes, yeah, aren't you? The internet, boy, that's a bigger one.
Lack of love.
Lack of understanding. Neglecting our Bible reading, prayer. What about church attendance? Now I'm going to step on toes. How many times have we seen people who, I belong to this church, I belong to Kasilov Community Church, and you haven't seen them in 15 years, haven't seen them in 10 years. When I came here from Pennsylvania, I would run into people and I'd say, oh yeah, I belong to Kenai Grace Brethren Church. And I'd say, oh, you do? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad. Never seen him before. I'd ask the former pastor there. He never seen him before. But they call it their church. Why is that? Why don't we like accountability? It's something that God really uses in our life to help us. Each one of us has different spiritual gifts. You know why we don't all have all the gifts? Anybody know?
Because we're different parts of the body.
Different parts of the body?
One's too much already.
One's too much. And a lot of times it is, isn't it? Especially if you're in the gift of exhortation, right? Who likes that guy, huh? Yeah, he's one of the real, whoa, man, now this guy. When we think about it, God gives us different gifts so that we need each other. The purpose of our gift, and one of the biggest errors that I see in churches. The guy with a gift of evangelism. Oh, if you want to get saved, you go see so-and-so. You know? What is the gift of evangelism for? So he can teach the church to evangelize. All of us have that responsibility, right? Every one of us. So the same way with encouragement, the same way with someone's in the hospital and sick. Who goes and sees them? Oh, well, the pastor, he's got to go see him. How about me? What about an encouragement card? When I was in Indiana, we had a dear lady whose name was Mrs. Angel. And I'll tell you what, it was so cool. This lady had a desire to be used to God. She never taught a Sunday school class. She wouldn't know how to even do it. That wasn't her. She went to our pastor one day and she says, Pastor, can you give me a room in the church? Now, we had a Christian school there, and all week long, every room was filled in that place. I mean, we even had the kitchen used for classrooms sometimes. But she says, I've got a burden. She says, we've got 8 ladies in our church who are pregnant and going to have a baby within the next 3 months. We need a bigger nursery. And everybody knew that, and we were going to have a fundraiser and everything. And so Mrs. Angel says, I used to teach quilting at this place downtown. And they told me I could no longer do that, that they rented the building out, so I can't meet there anymore. She says, if you would give me a room, I will make quilts for the people in our church. We won't charge them a whole lot, enough for maybe the materials and a little more, and we'll use that as a fundraiser for our nursery. She says, you give me the room, I'll set up the quilt, and we'll tear it down every time so the room is open. And you know what? Within a year and a half, those ladies made over $150,000. That's the gift of giving. Just doing something that she could do, no one else could do it. She just loved to do it. She would turn on gospel music or a Christian radio station, hear preaching while ladies would come in. She would teach them how to quilt. Every week we would come in, and in our foyer there would be a new quilt there. She would ask people in the church, if you've got a wedding dress you're never going to wear again, we'll just cut it up and make a quilt out of it. Or maybe an old, some clothing that you know is in your closet, you're not going to use, something that has memories to you. And then what she would do is she'd say, now I want you to tell a story of all the materials that this is made of. And so every week we would go into church and say, hey, they got another quilt up? We'd go over and look and see. The first quilt they made was a former pastor of ours. They were celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the family got together and got a bunch of materials of different things that they found pictures of them, that maybe there was a shirt or something like that. They cut it up and they put this thing, and maybe they'd write on there some things of memories that they had. And that's how it went. But just doing something out of the box. You know, there are so many ways to glorify our God. So many ways that we can go to Him and say, Lord, if you'll use me, I'll do whatever you want. When we're growing in our faith, when we're in the Word of God, when we're praying, and open our mind to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then as the Spirit of God leads you, do it. You'll be amazed. Many times what keeps us from growing in our faith is negative influences. I'm going to skip through some of this because our time's getting away from us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he talks about false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Many times we follow people rather than God. It's, who is this person? Oh, man, he's so cool. Any of you remember the Moonies? Do you remember them? They would stand there with the biggest smiles and the flowers. And man, who wouldn't want a flower for your wife? You know, they come up there and lure, and they were just like it says here, false teachers. We see that many times in our life. Luring into the world system is another way. Much of what's offered by the world and advertised in the media, the internet, looks appealing. But is it according to the Word of God? You know, if you're going to grow in your faith, the Word of God is essential, isn't it? It's because of what God says. In the 1990s, George Barna had a survey one time. And in this survey, he qualified to see who was an evangelical believing Christian. And once they established that, they started asking questions to people to try and get their worldview. 9% of Bible-believing Christians actually had a biblical worldview. Think of that. We've got more at our disposal today than any people in history of the world. When I go out to Wildwood and I'm teaching a Bible class there, I tell these guys, I said, you look at these walls. You've got so much material here. How many of you have opened up some of these? How many of you have actually read these? In your homes, how many Bibles do you have? How many commentaries or dictionaries or something that you can study to show yourself approved unto God? A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, when somebody comes up here and speaks, you need to know whether they're telling God's truth or whether they're giving an opinion. That's the responsibility of the church. When you're looking for a pastor, you need to make sure that man is in the Word of God, that he is giving truth. But don't discourage him. This is the Church of America. All these things that I read to you, they need prayer. I'm just going to read from Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. See, God's going to hold them accountable. We don't have to. That's why so many are discouraged, because people hold them accountable instead of God. Can I tell you that? Please don't do that to the man you call. Don't do that to Jeff. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, Jeff, but frankly, as a pastor, a retired pastor who got out because I was asked to leave, I know what that's like. Believe me, it's not fun. When we are mature in our faith, how do we know whether we're growing? Might be a good question that we can ask ourselves. When we increase our awareness of our sin, our pride, our attitudes, whatever it might be that God is convicting us of, this is one way when we answer quickly to what the Lord has to say to us. I tell people, 1 John 1:9, don't ever forget that. Memorize it. Does anybody know what that is? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, confess your sins. That means agree with God that I blew it. That's all it's saying. God, I blew it. Forgive me. It's repentance and forgiveness. Realizing that I did wrong. We don't like to do that, do we? None of us like to say, hey, you're wrong. Especially if somebody's pointing a finger at us. What did I say about the exhorter? Nobody likes that guy. You know what I mean? Why? Even if he does it in gentleness and in love, it's not fun to be convicted of wrong. None of us like that. But it's who we are. As long as we're in this skin, we're going to do wrong, aren't we? Did you know that 1 John 1:9 was written to the church? It's not to pagans. It's not to people who don't know Christ. It's to the people in the church. In fact, he goes on to say, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar, and the truth isn't in you. He's talking to church people, okay? He's talking to you and me. When we think about that, evidence of growth is realizing that I have some work to do. I'm under construction, if you will. That's what God wants me to see in myself, that I haven't arrived yet. The more we work towards being like Christ, the more we're going to see that God is approving of our behavior, who many times when we see our spiritual battles that come along, testings, trials, those things. When I'm over at a Heritage place, I see people who are there who aren't in good health, constantly in pain, a lot of them. And you know what? It's hard to be cheerful and loving when you're in pain, isn't it? But you know what? It can be done. When our perspective is, God, thank you for even giving me this pain, that's not an easy thing to do, is it? Sometimes he's teaching us a lesson. Did you know the book of Job, that Job had no idea what was going on to him? God was talking to Satan and bragging about Job and saying, look, he will never forsake me. Take your best shot, Satan. Just don't take his life. And boy, Satan gave him all he could give him, couldn't he? When God gave him a little opportunity, he took it to extremes. But still, that man was faithful. Now, after a while, he got weary and he complained, and God let him know who was God and who wasn't. Maybe sometimes that's what we have to do. There has to be times when we think, are we ever going to get a pastor here? Are we ever going to have someone here that's going to do something? How about me rising up and doing things? When the pastor comes, are you going to stop doing what you're doing? That's typical of a lot of churches. Can I tell you that don't do that for your own good? When you're growing in your faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, trials are going to come, temptations. But when we look at them as opportunities to show our God how much we love him and how much we care, that's when we're going to grow in our relationship. But it won't happen without Bible reading, prayer, and just fellowshipping with one another. Your leaders were talking about being a unified body. We need that in the church in America. Too many churches are fighting like this rather than saying, hey, brother, I don't agree with you, but I love you anyway, and we're going to work this out. That's what needs to be done. When we look at what God is doing, think about all the things that God has done in your life, all the gifts that he's given you. Spending more time in worship, desiring to, boy, I just can't wait to get alone and get my Bible, maybe get a tablet and pen and just write down things that I'm discovering about what God is teaching. Is that the desire of your heart? I hope so. When we do that, then we're fulfilling what the Lord, he gave us life, and he gave us a purpose and a plan for our life, no matter what stage of life we're in. I shared with a lady one time, she was ready to go home, be with the Lord. She was in pain. Cancer was eating her up. And just, oh, it was, I think she must have been 80 pounds, maybe less. She just went to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. But ever since Easter, she was, I got to go home. I got to go home. I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. And all the focus was on the pain. Well, what do you say to somebody like that? I shared with her that every day is a gift from God, and we don't understand why we go through pain. But you know what? God knows. And you stay faithful to him, and he'll be faithful to you. And you know what? Today she isn't worried about that pain one bit. How many of you ladies, when you were pregnant, were in pain? But boy, when it was over, look at this. This little one, this life, this miracle of God. All of a sudden, that pain was in the past. But you know, many times in our life, we desire to spend time alone with God so that we can just recharge our batteries, if you will. This is the desire of my heart for you as a church, that as you seek this man that God is going to bring here, understand one thing. He's a gift from God. God took him out of his environment to bring him here to you, to minister to you, to love you, but you're to love him back. Please be the kind of church that God will be proud of, that he'll see your heart, that when you draw together as a people and grow together, that God will say, look at that Kasilof Community Church. That's my church. And he may say to Satan, hey, look there, Satan, see them? Just like he did with Job. And say, yeah, those are people that really love me. They know what it's like. Is that your desire? If it is, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank and praise you for all you've done for us. God, we can't even begin to imagine all that Jesus went through on the cross. Lord, he paid a price for our sin. I pray that if there's anyone here who hasn't really received Christ, hasn't really understood what he's done, will grab a hold of the truth of knowing that their sins have been forgiven if they only believe, only trust in what Jesus Christ did for them. A new life will begin. Old things will pass away, but there will be adjustments. There will be times when they need to be growing, even hurting at times. Our faith in you sometimes causes pain. Sometimes it's a blessing. But God, it's not for weak people. It's for those who have strength and knowledge that only you can give. And so we rely on you for that. And as we do, Lord, I just pray that you be with me personally. This is a message for me as well as anyone here. That we draw together to be more like Christ. That's our mission. Help us to fulfill it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.